Here's the dilemma we have every single year we teach this school. Who do you start with? In the Trinity. You start talking about the Father, Father's love. You talk about Jesus, who made all things possible, who given us access to the Father. Do you start with Holy Spirit, who makes it all make sense? You know, the way I look at it is it's a win-win-win. But this year, other years we've done it different ways. This year we felt led, inspired to start with Holy Spirit. But again, let me give you a little bit of the why. Because He is the one who is given to us as a gift to go deeper and deeper and deeper with Jesus, with the Father, and with Holy Spirit Himself. And so we are wanting all of you to encounter Him at a much deeper level today. Not someday, but today. If you have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, which I will explain all this along the way, this is your day. If you have been, I want to tell you, you get brand new encounters with Him today. And I'm not just talking about a little bit of more, Lord. I'm saying, no, brand new encounters. Him showing Himself to you in ways you have never seen before. Something happening in your life. I'm going to tell you stories along the way of different things He's done that just blew me out of the water in different ways that He showed Himself to me. So that's what I'm declaring at the beginning over every single person in this room. What my prayer is that He will show you how astoundingly good and trustworthy and safe He is and fun and all the rest, so that by the end, you aren't going to have any reasons left over why not to jump in with both feet, you know, and just water over your head, okay? All right. So that's why we decided to start with Holy Spirit. But to remind you, starting next week, I'm going to be in Tuesday and Wednesday the next 2 weeks in a row to teach about the Father's love using my book. So that's why I want you to keep reading. But we're going to go deep. We're going to go deep into Papa's love. And in fact, in 3 weeks, the third Tuesday from now, I'm going to have a bunch of moms and dads in here, and we're just going to have a whole blessing you with mother-father blessing party for a long time. And some of you are going to get some deep, deep healing. So there you go. That's for the next couple weeks. So now who doesn't want to sign that paper? Okay. So I'm going to start with just explaining something about Holy Spirit. One of the questions is, well, Isn't He always with us? Why do we sometimes pray, "Come, Holy Spirit"? Isn't He always with us? Yes, He is. This is a really simple definition. It's not there on your notes, but He is in you for your sake, and He comes upon you for the sake of the world. It's an easy way to understand it. He's in you for your sake. You character, fruit of the Spirit. He comes upon you for the sake of the world. And you're going to see how this happens even with Jesus and His life. You're going to see, I'm going to show you. I'm going to unpack all this for you. But I wanted to start with that definition for you, all right? Now, the next thing on your list you'll notice start with this. What He is not. I want to start with what Holy Spirit is not. Holy Spirit is not the force. May the force be with you. He's not an it. He's not an electrical entity. He is God. He is the third person of the Trinity. A lot of people, I would say most Christians, know Jesus as a person, those who have entered into a relationship with Him. Some people are starting to understand, I can actually have a real Father. Not just that He is a Father that I hear about, but He's my dad. We're getting there, and we'll talk about that. But Holy Spirit is a person, just as real as Jesus and the Father. So if you don't know Him like that, I invite you to, because your walk is going to get better and deeper and more fun the more you know all of them. And here's the cool thing. Here's a question some people have as well. Which one do I pray to? You know what? It really doesn't matter. Who's touching your heart? Who do you want to talk to? If there's three people in the room, well, which one do I talk to? Well, I don't know. Take your pick. And the cool thing is any part of the Trinity, they're just not anxious about it or upset about it. If you talk to someone else, they're totally good with that because they're all in love with each other completely. From the beginning of the foundation of the earth, they were the original love triangle, you know? Love, a good love triangle, in a good way. If you look at the scriptures, what happens? The Father says, hey, check out my Son. This is my beloved Son. He rocks. And Jesus says, have you seen my dad? Man, he's amazing. If you've seen me, you've seen my dad. He's awesome. And Jesus says, oh, wait till Holy Spirit comes. He will rock your world. You know, Holy Spirit's like, whoa, check out the Son, check out the Father. It just goes all the time. So if you start to feel more, I don't know, attached or whatever to one part of the Trinity, it's probably just because it's a season where you're supposed to know that one more. So don't overwork it. Don't overstress it. Just go with it. Because it's all really, really good. Okay. So what we're going to do is talk about the names and the titles and the symbols for Holy Spirit. And I want you to help me. Because I could do this long list, but the thing is about halfway down your eyes would glaze over and your brain's not going to take it all in anyway. He's going to show you over time just how expansive he is, how amazing he is. But I do want you right now, and even you watching it online, I want you to stop right now for a moment to think about a couple of the names, symbols for Holy Spirit. I'm just going to give you like 60 seconds, so just the first several that come to your mind. Here's a clue, because obviously the symbols, sometimes we're aware of those. I won't say them because you will in a minute. But some of his names, a lot of them start with Spirit of. He's the Spirit of this and Spirit of that. It's all over Scripture. But anyway, just jot a couple of them down if you can. If you remember, put a Scripture right by it. Just a little Scripture reference if you remember where that comes from. Because in a minute I'm going to have a few of you share up here. All right? So just take about 60 seconds or 2 minutes at most. And at home, I want you to do the same thing. And you are, if you want, you can like press the pause button if you got a group, and you guys can just all take some time to do this together. All right. Said he's not the Force. He's not a droid. Okay. Actually, we're going to stop there, and we're going to keep going. The reason why I only gave you that much time is because your brain's going to keep thinking of them as we go anyway, and we're going to have people up here, and you can write them down as they say them. But let me just start with one, and then if you have one, I want you to come up. You can even make a line. But I want you to keep it short. So I'm going to tell you, just share what it is. Share what either the symbol or the word for him, the name for him. And if you got it, share the scripture verse also. You don't have to read it, but just share where you're getting it from. All right? I'm just going to share one with you because it's already up there. That's the fire. All-consuming fire. There's a bunch of places, but let me just. You don't have to write all these down, but it's in Isaiah 4:4, Acts 2:3, Matthew 3:11 and 12, Luke 3:16 and 17. Those are places where it talks about the Holy Spirit as the fire. So come on up and share one. Oh, by the way, just pick one. If you got five of them, share one. Pick your favorite one. Yeah, just pick one, because I want to hear from a bunch of people.
I don't have the scripture with it.
Okay.
The Holy Spirit warns you of danger to come.
Okay. Good. So what would a title for that be? Like, that's good. So if he warns you, what's that role? What's that?
Guardian.
Oh, guardian. Okay.
Guide.
All right, protector. Okay, good. All right, so go ahead.
The spirit of wisdom from Isaiah 11:2.
Perfect. Spirit of wisdom is one of his names. Awesome. That just keep flowing up. There should be a line. You guys should all be grabbing for the mic. Yeah, go ahead.
The dove came to me first, and it was when John the Baptist baptized Jesus. Mm-hmm. The spirit came down and sat on him.
That's good. So one of the symbols is a dove. Awesome.
He's just always been my comforter.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Awesome.
The candle, when Abraham was put, fell asleep, and God walked through the covenant sacrifice, it was the candle in the fiery furnace, and the candle was the Holy Spirit witnessing the cut covenant that God made with man.
That's awesome. You're just one second. What you're going to realize is, you ever with your kids? When my kids were younger, there was that Where's Waldo book. You ever see that where he's like hidden in the, you know, all the people? Where's Waldo? You're going to find Holy Spirit hidden everywhere in Scripture. It's not just the obvious places. So Art was telling you one that you may have not thought of. Where's the first place Holy Spirit's mentioned? Genesis 1, verse 2. Hovered over. In fact, let me read that really quick out of the... No, stay here. Out of the Message Bible. Check this out. This is the Message Bible. First this. God created the heavens and earth. All you see, all you don't see. Earth was a soup of nothingness, a bottomless emptiness, an inky blackness. God's spirit brooded like a bird above the watery abyss. Pretty cool. So there he was. There it is. Come on up, Norma.
Hi, I don't have the scriptures, but I have like three of them. So it's spirit of truth, spirit of revelation, and spirit of joy.
Cool. Awesome. Go ahead.
I like the flame thing too, but I was also going to say an eagle.
Uh-huh.
Just because I used to know this cat who had a tattoo of eagle flying like that, and it should say we should mount up with wings of eagles. I don't even know where the scripture comes from, but I knew this cat that had that, so
good.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Cool.
All right.
It's from the book of Isaiah.
The spirit is our advocate.
Good. Means he's for us and not against us. There you go.
Right. The seven spirits in the churches in Revelation.
Okay.
I think.
Do you have a reference for that?
I think it's Revelation 3 or 4, something like that. I can't remember.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Yeah. I learned this last week when I was baptized. I learned this last week when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is also known as the Holy Ghost, which performs several vital roles in the plan of salvation. He bears witness with the Father and Son. Corinthians 12:3.
Perfect. Awesome.
Everything y'all said is awesome, but my favorite is Romans 8:26. He's our intercessor because I need lots of prayer.
Come on. He's our intercessor. Isn't that awesome? Romans 8:26. So when you don't know what to cry, he's crying through you and groaning through you. Any others? Come on up real quick. Anyone? Last chance. Come on up if you got one. Last chance.
He's my counselor. And I think that's in John.
Uh-huh.
I always mess these up. I think it's Acts 1:8. He's our power.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit will come upon you. You should receive power.
Yes, absolutely.
He's our guarantee. He's our down payment for the fullness of our redemption.
That's it.
But I don't remember. I think it's in Ephesians or Philippians, one of those.
Yes, he's our deposit.
He's my tutor.
Yeah.
In here. And
that's good.
Yeah.
That's really good. Isn't this
he's
good?
The wind.
He's the wind, yes.
Yes, and that would be John 3:8.
Yes. John 3:8, there it is. Perfect.
He's the deep, as in deep cries out to deep. So uh-huh. Our spirits connect.
That's awesome.
The deep.
That's really great.
One of the symbols he often sees as is a cloud or a pillar of a cloud.
Yep. Good.
He's our lover.
He's our atmosphere. He's a spirit of adoption that cries, Abba, Father.
Yes, that's good. Spirit of adoption. Good, good, good. I think you got most of these. So a couple, please forgive me if you did say it and I'm repeating it, but I don't think anyone said oil is another symbol for him. Hebrews 1:9, other places. New wine. Joel 3:18, Amos 9:13, Ephesians 5:18, a bunch of other places. Someone said water, didn't they? But if not, it's rain, springs, fountain, dew, the river. It's all over the place in Scripture. John 7, 37 to 39 is one of the many, many places you can find that. You know what? Instead of... I actually have Scripture references for all these, but honestly, you can go online and you can type in any one of these. If you don't know about like crosswalk.com, is it Blue Bible, one of them? Blue Letter Bible. So if you go to some of these places and you type in one key phrase, it just all comes up. You don't have to search anymore these days. It just all comes to you. Crosswalk.com and blueletterbible.com. Those are just a couple of them. And those places will also give you 20, 30 different Bible translations. So if you get a verse you really like, all of a sudden you can just see it in 30 translations if you want. I'm still back in the old school. I have 30 translations sitting in my library at home. But, so here's some of the, not all of them, but Spirit of Truth, Spirit of Glory, Spirit of Adoption, we said, Spirit of Promise, Spirit of Holiness, Spirit of Wisdom, Spirit of the Living God, Spirit of Grace, Spirit of Faith, Spirit of Christ, Spirit of Wisdom and Revelation. Yeah, it just kind of goes on and on, actually. So that was just... Here's the deal. I get 2 hours only to try to, you know, just open up Holy Spirit to you, because we're taking the last hour to experience Him. I know we experience Him all the time, but I'm saying to intentionally really experience Him. So we got this much time to do it. All right. Let's see where we are here. Okay. The next in your notes is I wanted to talk to you about the promised Spirit. Holy Spirit was around through all of Scripture, but He was promised that we were going to experience Him in a special way one day. I'll give you a big clue already. We're in that day. So anything you read about where He's coming, He's already here for you in this special way. But in Ezekiel, by the way, when I'm reading, most of the time when I have my Bible up here, it's the New Jerusalem Bible. It's just because I love it. I'm not saying you have to read out of it, but Ezekiel 36. So open your Bibles. If we're going to jump around a bunch in Scripture, but I really do want you to see it. It's okay I'll tell you why. Because at different times when I read, first of all, you'll see it slightly different in your Bible and something else might jump out at you. But also, Holy Spirit's going to grab you at certain ones of these scriptures. And I don't know about you, but I write in my Bible all the time. You have God's permission. Really. He's written on your heart. Why can't you write in the Bible? I don't know. But because if some word jumps out at me, I'll circle it. If he gives me a promise, like something really leaps in my heart and is a now word for me, I'll write the date next to it. I'll star it three times so that I don't miss it again, you know, that kind of thing. And of course, like probably many of you, I've got older versions that I went through, like in college, that I wrote them all up. And then at one point I started all over again. And it's just fun. It's just a big journey with him, you know. Ezekiel 36, starting at verse 25, says, I shall pour, this is a prophet, so he's talking God's words, prophet Ezekiel speaking from God to us, God saying to us, I shall pour clean water over you, you will be cleansed. I shall cleanse you of all your filth, all your foul idols. I shall give you a new heart, and I shall put a new spirit in you. See, this is new. This wasn't part of the old covenant. It's coming a day when I'm going to put it in you. I shall remove the heart of stone from your bodies and give you a heart of flesh instead. That word flesh means responsive and sensitive to the touch of God. There can be some confusion. You're like, I thought flesh was a bad thing, you know, get rid of the flesh. There's different words that are used in Scripture that show up as the same word in English. But flesh here means a heart that's responsive and sensitive to the touch of God. That's what he's put inside of you. That's why you got this heart that longs for him all the time. I shall put my spirit in you, and I will make you keep my laws, respect and practice my judgments, and it goes on and on. So that is an old, there's many, many places I could go to show you this spirit that is promised. It's coming, it's different than what you experienced. It's more, it's better, it's in you. All right? He is in you, and many places in the scriptures. The next one is Matthew 3:11. Which is up here. This is John the Baptist, right? And I'm showing you this, and you might be thinking, well, wait, this is New Testament. Actually, it is in the New Testament, meaning when you look in your Bible, it's in the New Testament, but it also is in the Old Covenant. If that messes with your head a little bit, I'm actually going to unpack this a whole lot more in about a month when we talk about the finished work of the cross. But the reality is that Jesus hadn't died yet. John was there to prepare the way for Jesus coming. But he couldn't offer grace. He couldn't offer the things that were going to be offered to us after Jesus' death. He couldn't do it yet. So it says right there, I baptize you. Wow, it's off the screen. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. But did you notice that Jesus didn't do that when he walked the earth? We're gonna look at this, but he did not baptize people in the Holy Spirit and in fire while he was walking on the earth. Didn't happen. We'll get to that in a minute. So therefore, John the Baptist, even though it's in the New Testament, it's still Old Covenant, he's still saying, there's something coming, it's really good, Jesus is going to do it, he's given us more clues, oh, it's going to come through this man Jesus. So we're getting more clues, all right? Now, let's look at Jesus himself. Oh, baby. There we go. Looking at Jesus. I like looking at Jesus. Do you? You know, this is kind of wild because we don't talk about it all that much really in the church, that Jesus was conceived by Mary and Holy Spirit. It's a little odd, don't you think? It's one of those weird things. You're like, that's a little weird. You know what? It is. It's supernatural for sure. But it explains how he could be fully man and fully God. It also explains, the Bible says that Jesus grew in wisdom and in favor with God. Right? Did you know he grew in wisdom and favor? Isn't that interesting? How did that happen? He had the Holy Spirit in him from conception. I told you, the Holy Spirit is in you for your sake. He's upon you for the sake of the world. I am totally feeling him right now. Like, he likes this. I've never seen this so clearly before just getting ready for this class today, of how it's exactly the case where at birth, when is your birth? When is your spiritual birth? When you're born again, right? John chapter 3, when you were born again, which actually more correctly is interpreted born from above. What's happening? Oh, there's a seed that just got planted in you. Oh, you mean kind of like Mary had a seed planted in her. Jesus has the Spirit in him. So the minute you say yes to Jesus, the minute you give your life to him, you are a new creation. Holy Spirit has now come as a seed, entered into your heart. He's there. You are now growing in wisdom, in favor, in stature with God. Because he's in there to make sure it's going to happen. Even if it doesn't look like it every day of your life. I don't care what you think it looks like. This is God's promise. It's what he's doing from the inside out. Isn't that awesome? Okay. So now, but what happens, I told you he's in us for our sake. He's upon us for the sake of the world. So what happens at the baptism? At his baptism, Holy Spirit descends. You have the scriptures there for you. This is where the Father says to the whole world, this is my boy. He's awesome. He rocks. This is the one I love. I'm well pleased with him. Holy Spirit comes and descends on him like a dove. Kind of like whoosh. I wish I had a better microphone. Whoosh. Okay. I love doing things with these microphones, you know. Whoosh. Okay, anyway. So Holy Spirit comes like a dove. Hey, wouldn't you say that's kind of like the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Whoosh. It's what we see in Acts chapter 2 in a little bit. Suddenly, Jesus did not perform any miracles before that. He grew. He taught amazingly well. People were like, wow, where are you getting this kind of wisdom? Oh, that's right. Holy Spirit's in him. Growing him and growing him and growing him. And then God says, here you go. Whoosh. Holy Spirit's upon him. Next thing he gets is led into the desert by the Spirit is the very next verse. See, now he's being led by the Spirit and he obeys. We're going to be led by the Spirit. We need to do what he says because it's for your good. He's only going to lead you into good places even if it doesn't always seem like it. And then after that, Jesus then comes out of the desert, passes the test. I won't go into all that because we just don't have time. But that's where he announces for the first time what the Holy Spirit has anointed him to do. Isn't that interesting? He doesn't say the Father. Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Let's read it together. But isn't it interesting that he's talking about Holy Spirit? Hey, I have no doubts that Jesus was learning more and more through the years who he was, what he was about. I have no doubts that in the desert, those 40 days, God spoke to him a lot about his journey and what was going to happen. So that he could stand up in a synagogue in the midst of Jewish brothers and sisters, or brothers, actually in a synagogue, who wouldn't understand really what he was getting at. But he says, Luke 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted, to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free and to proclaim a year of favor from the Lord. How many of you like that mission statement? Good thing, because when you became one with Jesus, this is what you signed up for. Because you're co-missioned by Him. This is my mission. Oh, you want in with me? Let's do this together. So some of you are wondering, what's my purpose in life? Here you go. You could start right here. I mean, there's no guesswork here. This is what you get to do. What's that going to look like? Well, that entirely depends on your personality. It depends on the favor He gives you, the people you're with, the people you rub shoulders with, whether you're in the work world, wherever you are, this is what you get to do. Okay? And he says, it's because the Holy Spirit has anointed me to do this. See, He came to show us what a life fully submitted to the Holy Spirit would look like. He was divine, but he pushed that aside. The plan from God was, my son needs to do this fully as a human being so that you all will see the model, the prototype for what life is supposed to be like for you in the kingdom. That's why Jesus says some crazy things, like in John, I want to say 14, but anyway, 14, 15, where He says, you'll do even greater things than I will. I mean, that verse rocked my world when I first really had to come to grips with that. Because either He says what He means or He doesn't. But if He says you get to do even greater things than Him, then the first thing we need to do is catch up to what He was doing on the earth. And then He says, and you get to do more. That's where my journey's been. It's like, well, if Jesus did it, I get to do it. And I have the same Holy Spirit He does. So I'm kind of out of excuses. But He's really merciful. He's gracious. He's going to walk us through it. He's going to get us there. Why? Oh, because the Holy Spirit made His home inside of you. The minute you were born again, the seed was planted inside of you. You were born from above. All right. Then I want to read. So again, we're going to look at Jesus' life a little bit more. Luke 6. So just flip your page over. Luke 6, 18. So this whole crowd is around who'd come to hear Him to be cured of their diseases. People tormented by unclean spirits were also cured. And everyone in the crowd was trying to touch Him because power came out of Him that cured them all. There it is. That's what was going on. The woman with the issue of blood who touches Him, He's like, who touched me? Well, everybody's touching Him, but He's like, no, I felt something leave. I felt power go out. Holy Spirit took off from me and did something. He's still in me, but He took off and did something. Who was that? This is how real it is. Flip over to John 14. We're going to read just a little about what Jesus said. By the way, if this is all kind of new for you, read all of John 14. Read all of John 16. Read the book of Acts. Read the book. Just turn anywhere because it's all so good. John 14, verse 16. Jesus says, I'm going to ask the Father, and He's going to give you another, mine says paraclete, counselor, to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world can never accept, since it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, because He is with you. He is in you. I'm going to ask the Father. What do you think Jesus' success ratio is in praying for things that He gets? We say in 1 John, it says that if we ask in accordance with God's will, we know that we already have what we asked for. That's the key, right? Is being so connected with his heart. We know his heart, therefore we know when we agree with heaven, it's done. I think Jesus knows the Father's heart. Absolutely. 100% knows the Father's heart. So when he prays to the Father for us to receive the Holy Spirit, that's a done deal. That's an absolute done deal. Father says, well, yeah. Yes, Jesus, I'll do that for you. John 16. Flip over another. Like I told you, we're just going whoosh really quickly through. I can't. There's no way I can cover it all. Verse 7. Jesus says, still, I'm telling you the truth. You're not going to like this, but it's for your own good that I'm going. Because unless I go, the Paraclete, Counselor, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And then it goes on to talk about some of his duties, which I love that verse, but I'm not going there right now. It's for your own good. It is better for you that I go. Jesus, you cannot mean that. He's talking to his disciples, his followers, who he's poured into for 3 years, and he says, trust me. Oh, it's going to be hard for you. It is way better. You're not going to believe how good it's going to be when Holy Spirit makes his home inside of you. Because you know what? Yeah, I've been a best friend to you. I have counseled you. But I could only be with one of you at a time while I was here on the earth. Holy Spirit, oh, he's a multitasker extraordinaire. He can give every single one of you 100% of his attention 100% of the time. And if you skip down to verse 12, check this out. Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but they would be too much for you to bear now. You're not quite ready for these things. However, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you to the complete truth. Since he will not be speaking of his own accord, he will say only what he has been told, and he will reveal to you the things to come. Sounds a little bit like prophecy to me. He will glorify me, since all he reveals to you will be taken from what is mine. Everything the Father has is mine. That's why I said all he, Holy Spirit, reveals to you will be taken from what is mine. This verse really bothers some people when you start to think about what he said, because some people are not going to like this, but that means that everything we need is not in this book. Is the Bible the rule of faith? Yes. It's a place. How do we know if we're going way off course? Oh, this is a great way to make sure. You know, you're getting some of the more from Holy Spirit. Is this right? Is this even God's heart? Oh my gosh, it is God's heart, because here it is over here. He just told it to me in a new way. He just gave me more. Because he's going to complete. It says right here, he's going to complete. He's going to keep bringing in the full truth. The disciples weren't ready for it all. He couldn't give it all. If it's going to take all of eternity for us to get how big God is, how could Jesus download all that in 3 years? So there is more and more and more that we get from the Lord. I love how he takes Scripture and unpacks it and gives it layered meanings and takes it deep into your life. That's part of the more. But that's exactly what he said. He said, Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to give you even more than I gave you. I'm just saying, it's right there. So let's see. And the very last thing, we'll go to one more, Luke 24. See, actually, it should be exciting, because if this is the only place you can receive truth, is from this cover to cover, then your journey will end at some point. But there's no end to your journey. There's no end to the exploration. There's no end to the more of God. Who's going to give us that? Oh, someone in here said from when deep cries to deep. First Corinthians, I believe chapter 2, talks about God's spirit and our spirit. Totally connected. Our spirit is connected with God's spirit. We're getting revelation all the time. And the more open we are to Holy Spirit, the more revelation we're going to get. This is the way it works. So Luke 24:49, "And now I am sending upon you what the Father has promised. Stay in the city then until you are clothed with power from on high." This is Jesus after his resurrection, after his crucifixion and resurrection. So now he's alive. He hasn't yet ascended. This is in that 40 days when he's still walking the earth and showing himself as a glorified Christ, but to his followers. But he's saying, I'm going to send what the Father promised. I'm sending it, but I want you to stay in the city until you're clothed with power. So in other words, now he's saying, you guys, it's really, really close. Don't go anywhere. You're not going to want to miss this. And by the way, Luke is the same author as Acts. So Luke wrote Acts, and you can really tell that the style is very similar. But even in the beginning of Acts, the first chapter, it's like part two of his book. He's like, remember in part one, Jesus was saying, don't go anywhere. He kind of starts it out that way, and then he picks up the story, which we'll go to in a minute. So that we're just setting the stage for who he is. Why would you want to give him complete control and access of your life? I'm giving you all the reasons, but it still has to be the yes in your heart. He will make himself so obvious to you, so good to you, but you still have to give him the yes. You have to give him the thumbs up, the nod. That is the way it works. And you know why? Because God, I will talk more about this later, but he's not going to manipulate you. He loves you way too much to manipulate you. You all have had plenty of people who have manipulated you in your life. Love had nothing to do with that. God is love. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they are love. They're not going to manipulate you. They're going to win you over like crazy. They're going to woo your heart till you can't say no. They'll take you to places where you make crazy promises to him and he goes, gotcha, here we go. Here we go on the journey, and it's going to be good. But he will not force himself. He will not pressure you and make you do what he wants you to do. Because then it isn't a relationship of love anymore. And he's after one thing. He's after lovers. I'll talk more about that next week. So, quarter after, right? All right. So, this is actually good. I was kind of hoping we were going to get through more because... I'm going to jump into the second page. Wasn't sure if we'd get there in the morning, but we are, which is a good thing. I want to look now. Let me tell you where I'm going right now. We're going to look at Jesus in the book. I'm sorry, Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. We're probably not going to get through that list. I'm sure we're not in the next 15 minutes. I am going to start telling you some stories along the way, which is fun, some cool stories, Holy Spirit stories. And then eventually I'm going to share my own experience with you of my own baptism in the Spirit, what that was like. That'll all happen in the afternoon. Again, at about 1:30 or so, some other people are going to start coming into the room. I invited some others to come just to have a little Holy Spirit blowout party a little bit. Like that. So, if you'll turn to the book of Acts, to chapter 1. In the afternoon, I'm really hoping we have time for at least a few questions and answers. So if there's something really like eating at you, you really want to know, hopefully we'll have time. If we don't, let me just tell you already, there's a reason why we have so many leaders here. And not just the pastors, not just Lonnie and Angela and the pastors, but and all the other pastors, but the interns and stuff. They've all been through these courses. They've been around our culture for a long time. So just find some people. If you have questions, talk amongst yourselves. You know, some of you just have questions about maybe, you know, what certain gifts of the Spirit are about. Talk to other people around you. This is a big family. And we don't expect you to have all of your answers met. My answers aren't all met. And I've been in this a long time, for decades. I still got questions. You know, the Lord is still showing me things. So anyway, but hopefully we'll have a little time for Q&A. So the book of Acts, I already told you, Luke goes from Luke right into Acts. Like if you could really sew those two together, you would have one long letter, really, is what you'd have. So because he says in my earlier work, he starts in verse 1, you know, but I'm not going to read that. So looking at, go right here. I find really cool pictures, but then they're no good if I don't actually use them. Okay. So Acts 1, I'm actually going to go back to, let me just go back. Okay, I'm going back to the end of chapter 3. I'm sorry, chapter 1, end of verse 3. While at the table with them, Jesus had told them not to leave Jerusalem. That's what we just read in Luke. But to wait there for what the Father had promised. It is, he had said, what you have heard me speak about. John baptized with water, but not many days from now. He's saying really close now. You are going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now having met together, they asked him, Lord, has the time come for you to restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it's not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has decided by his own authority. He says, I can't tell you that one. Don't mind that you asked. But here's what I can tell you. You will receive the power of the Holy Spirit, which will come on you, and then you will be my witnesses. Do you see any question marks in that? Like, question marks as in maybe this will happen, maybe it won't. No, he's like, let me tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to make sure that this is going to happen. You're going to be my witnesses, not only here in Jerusalem, but through Judea and Samaria, indeed to the earth's remotest end. He says this thing's going to spread far and wide. The book of Acts, if I could just give you like a phrase for what the book of Acts is all about, it's how a handful of followers that were afraid for their own life turned around and change the world, completely unafraid for their lives anymore. What happened? Holy Spirit happened. That's the difference. You might ask, one of the questions might be, well then how did they perform those miracles? How did anyone in the Old Testament perform them? No problem. Upon. Anytime the Lord wanted the Holy Spirit to come upon someone to do something, no problem. There you go. Holy Spirit upon, Old Testament, and when Jesus walked the earth before the new covenant, before the baptism of the Spirit was poured out. No problem. Holy Spirit upon. Happened all the time in Scripture. What's different is within. What's different is that now you don't have to wait for an upon moment, because he's in you all the time, and the more you get to know his heart, you can move as he moves. You're going to move with him. You're going to change the world. Along with the disciples, you're going to go change the world. Okay? That's what's happening. If you go then to chapter 2, and I know you all know these scriptures well, but hopefully you're getting a little bit of new insight into why this is so incredibly important for us. Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 1, which is the outpouring of the Spirit. When Pentecost Day came around, they had all met together, when suddenly there came from heaven a sound as of a violent wind, which filled the entire house in which they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, and these separated, and they came to rest on the head of each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in different languages as the Spirit gave them power to express themselves. And then jumping down to verse 17, because Peter what happens is everyone around is going, what is that? People who are not there, people who are not in the upper room, but when they start speaking out in all kinds of languages and other people around can understand them in their own native tongues, they're like, this is wild. What is going on? And Peter stands up and says, let me tell you what's going on. I love it. It's Peter over and over again who stands up and is so bold and sharing with everybody. The one who just a few weeks earlier wanted to throw in the towel. Do you remember that? Because he denied Jesus. He went back to fishing and said, I'm done. I'm done with the Jesus thing because I totally failed him. Jesus said, oh no, you didn't. Oh, let me tell you, Peter, you are pre-qualified by me to go and change the world. Get back in the game. And Peter's the one, over and over and over again, who goes for it. I love it. It's amazing. So Peter stands up and he says, hey, in the last days, what he does is he says, remember that scripture in Joel? This is that. Hello, people. I know it's been 1,000 or 2 years, but let me connect the dots for you. We're going to pull back this and say, it's here, it's now. This is that thing that's been promised for a long, long time. In the last days, we are living in those days. When you read in the last days, we are in them. The last days is anything post-Jesus, anything after his resurrection, crucifixion, resurrection. We're in it. Do you know why that's so important? Because you don't have to wait for all that you were promised. Stop waiting for what you're promised. Now it's about entering in, engaging with the Lord, finding out who we are, discovering what your promises are, and walking in them. It's not about waiting for them. Wow. So in the last days, the Lord declares, again, he's reading from Joel, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all humanity, all flesh. This really bothers Christians when they get this. It does not say I'm pouring it out on all believers. It doesn't say that. Oh, this really tweaks us. You're like, that's not what I thought. I thought you had to accept Jesus and then, you know, then be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, you know, see, we have our nice boxes and our nice, neat formulas. And God says, you know, formulas are cool sometimes. I don't mind order. But you know what? I'm way outside of your formulas. I'm way outside of your box. I have poured out my spirit on all flesh. If that's not true, tell me this. How did you get saved? Who went and got who? Who poured his spirit on you first before you knew him? That's the way it works. I got to stop and tell you this awesome story. This was about 10 years ago, out on the streets. We went out to Hacienda in Dublin, which is that big movie theater, Regal movie theater. And we used to go out there every Friday, and we would go out, and we'd love on people and bring them, you know, free encouraging words, prophetic words. We saw all kinds of healings out there, which I'll tell you more about another time. But this story, we were out there. I had brought my, I think I brought my names book or something. I was out there just telling people, you know, who they are, what God thinks of them. And there was this group of junior high boys. There were about 6 of them. And they just thought they were the funniest thing ever, you know, because they were junior high. You know, it's that age. And so they're kind of off to the side a little bit and start mocking us a little, you know. And one of them, kind of the ringleader, says to me, he says, you know, I heard that Jesus got high on marijuana, you know. He got stoned. And I said, you know, and they're looking for a rise out of us. They're trying to, you know, jab us a little. And I said, well, I said, I don't think so. But I said, but he did get drunk in the spirit. And they were, and suddenly they went from this to what? And I said, oh yeah. I said, and then I started talking about it as a real drug. You know, I said, oh, it's amazing. I said, it just, wow, it just takes every care away. I said, there's no hangovers. I mean, I started just talking about why it's the best thing in the world, you know. And I kid you not, after a few minutes of this, the ringleader says, can I have that? I said, I said, absolutely. Absolutely. I see. So we were, cement, you know, block pillars that you sit on, you know, one of those things. So he's sitting down. And I said, okay, well, we're just going to pray for you. And I don't think Sheila's here. She was there too. And I said, so we just started saying, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, bring the new wine. You know, pretty soon, within seconds, he's starting to go, whoa. And he goes, about 30 seconds later, he is all the way back on that cement slab. He's just laid out, junior high boy, laid out, and he says to his friends, this is better than Bacardi. Isn't that awesome? Now, I'm telling you, this messes with your boxes because you're like, well, you can't experience the Holy Spirit until he's saved. Really? Oh, really? So he's down there, and then I did this. I knelt down, you know, I wasn't making a show of this at all, just kind of whispering to him, actually, you know, pretty low volume. I just said, this is the Spirit of Jesus. Do you want him? He's like, yeah. I said, cool. I said, just say, Jesus, I want you. Jesus, I want you. I mean, he could care less. He was drunk in the Spirit. He couldn't care. I led him to Jesus. The next thing that happened is all of his friends are leaning in. Do me next. I want in. Like I told you, I think there were six of them. All but one got radically touched, radically moved in the Holy Spirit, received Jesus. The one of them was like, I don't know, you know, and that was fine. We didn't, again, love doesn't manipulate. If they're not ready, it's no problem. But God can do whatever he wants to do in any order he chooses to do it. Because what he does is he gives you a taste of who he is and says, do you want some? You want me? And he'll do that over and over and over again. There's no end to this. He's going to keep, like even today, he's you know, he's sending a few more signals out saying, come on, you want more? So that's where we're going after our break, because it's quarter after. We're going to go through the rest of the book of Acts. I'm going to tell you my story, and we're going to see where this goes. All right?